Hello, and welcome to Game Therapy. Today, it's just me. Yep. Play the music, maestro.
Welcome to Game Therapy, a podcast on gaming and mental health.
All right, so Chris has COVID right now, which means that it's his turn and his voice is not doing so great. So we weren't going to force him to make an episode, but I really wanted to talk about the new Resident Evil DLC that just came out. I guess it's November now, so last month. And I guess I'm going to talk about it like I'm talking to Chris and just, you know, have a one-sided conversation here. So Chris encouraged me to purchase and download the expansion that came out. It is a $20 expansion, which I wasn't super happy about, to be honest, because I really loved Resident Evil 7. I thought it was a great game. And they had a bunch of DLC, downloadable content that was free. Like, the game came out, and then they were like, here you go, here's, like, some extra missions, and, like, new storylines to discover, and some weird shit. And this time they decided they were going to charge for it, which I don't know, I'm not, like, against DLC if it's adding new content and worthwhile content. But I feel like changing your whole operation here to charge for it is not my favorite thing. So if you already own the game, then the expansion is $20. But if you don't own the game and want to buy the gold edition, which is $50, you can just buy that. So that's not bad if you haven't played the game yet. $50 for the game plus the expansion. And the expansion includes three things. It adds third-person mode. Resident Evil Village follows 7 in being a first-person game. So it's a first-person shooter. You don't see the character, Ethan's face. You are Ethan. Whereas traditionally Resident Evil has been over-the-shoulder or third-person or even fixed camera. So it was a big change for them to go first person. But in 7, I feel like it was actually a really good choice. It really heightened the fear that you were feeling because you were so close to everything. Like, when a bad guy comes up in third person, you're like, oh no, he's chomping on their neck. But when they come up in first person, it's like, oh no, they're chomping on my neck. So it was kind of an interesting choice for them to add third-person mode. I'm not really sure who asked for that, but I like it. I like playing Resident Evil games in third-person mode. That's what I'm used to. It's also interesting that this is the 8th game of Resident Evil coming chronologically directly after 7. They don't have a third-person mode for 7. So I guess they've seen so much hype with their remakes that are all third person that they felt like they were excluding an audience or something by not having third person. So I played Village when it first came out, and I'm replaying it right now in third person mode, and I really like it, but it seems a little bit half-baked to me, unfortunately. So you're behind Ethan's head, you're walking around over his shoulder or whatever. But then as soon as you enter a cutscene or like a scene that's scripted to happen, the camera zooms in and you assume a position within Ethan's face and see everything in first person again. Like, even door opening animations and stuff. And I'm like, come on, you couldn't just throw in a door opening animation for that? That seems a little half-baked. Like, I've seen mods that are more well-baked than that. And for me, it also kind of defeats the purpose because I've been playing it on a really big screen, and if you're too close to the big screen in first person, I can get a little motion sick. And I was like, oh, great. So I can play it on the big screen and see all these huge details on my nice, shiny PlayStation 5. But when, like, it feels like a quarter of the time you're forced into these first-person cutscenes, that really defeats the purpose of having a third-person point of view, or I guess field of view is what you could call it. So I find it a little disappointing and not quite as well-refined as I was hoping it would be. And I mean, obviously, I was kind of, when this first came out, I was kind of like, oh, well, I hope they do the same treatment for 7. But I don't know. That 7, I'm always a little sad that it's not supported as well as it could be. Because, well, that's a whole other thing. I won't go into that. I'm just going to keep going on 8. So that's the main thing that it includes is a third person. That's wrong. That's not the main thing it includes. The main thing it includes is an extra story called Shadows of Rose, which is what everybody's really interested in, not just me. So that was the main thing that I bought it for. That I was like, this is new content. It's not just rehashing the old content. It's new, it's shiny, and it's more story, which is interesting to me. So Shadows of Rose is about a 3-hour snippet. I don't know. What do you call it? A 3-hour experience. And it follows a grown-up Rose about 14 years, I think, after the events of the game. And Rose is the little baby, Ethan's little baby, who you're saving through the whole game. And now she's all grown up and she's got mold powers. Sorry, spoilers, I guess. And you play as her. And what she's doing is she is going into the Mega Mycete to try and figure some stuff out. And I don't love the conceit. I'm not against Rose. Rose is fine. I mean, she's a standing character. She doesn't do anything offensive. She's normal or whatever. But what they've done is they've made just a short experience, like a bite-sized part of the game. And you're supposed to play it after playing the main game. So the difficulty is actually pretty hard. So, well, not super hard. You can select the difficulty at the beginning. I selected standard difficulty and was kind of surprised at how difficult it was. I did not have a lot of ammunition. I was actually out of ammunition at certain points. And, I mean, I'm not a headshot-only kind of person, but I was scrimping and saving, and there were definitely some enemies where I just didn't have the resources to kill them. So on standard difficulty, it definitely was recommended that you play it after playing the main campaign, which is true because you want to have your skills all honed and whatnot. And the bad guys really take a lot of shots to put down, multiple headshots just to put one down. And I don't think I got any crits. Well, and what I mean by crits is their head blows up. But the game, usually there's a difficulty adjuster in the game, and depending on like how well or poorly you're doing, sometimes they'll give you critical headshots that automatically down an enemy in one shot, and that wasn't here. So the standard difficulty was difficult, especially since I hadn't played the main game since it came out. As for gameplay, so it was harder than the main game, but I found that it was a simplified gameplay experience. The progression as a character was much simpler. So Rose doesn't have much going for her. You show up and you get a pistol, and then I guess you pick up a shotgun, and that's about it. She has like her mold powers, but they don't. That's the only real difference between the main game and Shadows of Rose, is they play a lot with her mold powers and make you use them, but they're not like a power you've never tried in games or anything. It's a shiny, sparkly, hold your hand out at something and flex. And I mean, it was pretty and it was interesting, I guess, in that it's different from a lot of Resident Evil. It felt more like magic than anything, not like a viral load or anything. It was like, no, she's kind of a wizard in this weird little mind palace that's an amalgamation of the events a village. I don't want to go too into spoiler territory. I mean, I'm sure I've spoiled a couple things, but if you're interested in it, I hope this will give you an idea of if you'll enjoy it. I did enjoy it, but there's very few Resident Evil experiences that I come out of and say, nah, that wasn't for me. So I'm not an equal judge in this arena. I enjoyed it. I don't think that 3 hours worth of gameplay was worth it, especially for areas that you're revisiting from the main game. And only 3 hours of playtime was honestly... I was surprised, actually, because to me it felt like they had kind of wanted to do a little bit more, but didn't get there. There was one part that I found really mysterious in that you find keys, as you do in Resident Evil, and there was a key, it was a key with one eye, and they had some name for it. I've forgotten. And then they had a key with three eyes, and I was like, did I just miss the key with two eyes? Or was this never here to begin with? And that kind of felt like maybe there was cut content. And this was in Castle Dumitrescu, which you revisited. And it is kind of interesting to revisit an area and be like, oh, yeah, I know where this secret passage is or whatever. But also, I've been there and I felt like I was finished in the castle. So bringing me back there as someone else didn't add much value to me. It bothers me a lot. One of my least favorite tropes in entertainment is it was all a dream type things. And sometimes, of course, that can be interesting, but I didn't find it was very interesting in this. It was just an excuse to put Rose in the village without actually being in the village. And to me, that just kind of makes it matter less. That you're like, none of this really happened. And I guess they were just playing it as an internal thing that Rose was going through and she didn't need outside influence, but also like nothing really happened. I guess it sets up for Rose as a potential protagonist for more Resident Evil games, or at least an additional character that can join the current cast. They're just trying to add to it because I guess, well, Ethan is no longer in the running. Though, I guess, spoiler alert, I guess if he's part of the Mega Mycete, he's in there. They could bring him back, right? I think he was always kind of a mold monster man. What if he just came back as a mold monster man again? Maybe. I only have two more complaints. And my next one is, why did they fight so hard to keep us from seeing Ethan's face? I get that that's like the standard protocol at this point. I mean, in 7, you didn't see his face because the whole time you were like, you were him. It was first person. There weren't any mirrors. And then there was only one occasion where you saw him from an outside view and they were like, oh, well, let's just hide his face because I don't know. That was the thing they did. And then for 8, the precedent had been set that we didn't see what his face looked like. And they didn't seem to want to let go of that. Like, I don't know. Ethan's not the most interesting dude in the world. I don't know why they need to hide his face. Why does he need to be so mysterious? And in the Shadows of Rose DLC, they went to extreme lengths to hide his face. And I just don't know why. I think there could have been more interesting ways to hide his face, or just stop doing it. Just let us see his face. Who cares? He's just a guy. Also, why was Mia not in the DLC? Rose mentions at one point, she's like, yeah, I haven't seen mom in forever. And I'm like, you're 16. How are you living without your mom? Why doesn't Mia even have a bit part in this? She's your only parent, Rose. Where's she been? Why isn't she looking over you at all? I don't know. It was kind of a weird call, in my opinion, to have Mia be just an entirely absent character, given that the previous two games, she's been very important to the story and the role that she plays in the games. And then the DLC, they were just like, eh, it would be easier if she wasn't here. So I guess I have a lot of bad things to say about it, but like, if that's enough to talk you out of it, then probably just skip it. But otherwise, it was enjoyable. I mean, it was more content for a game that was well-liked. So I don't see... if you're determined to get it and play it, then go for it. But if you're like, maybe I'll just wait for like a $20 gold edition to play the DLC, like it's not burning that, it's not like a burning need to play it immediately, kind of like me, then yeah, you can probably wait on it. But $50 for the gold edition, including the main game, should be really fun. The other thing that it adds is mercenaries, additional orders, which the mercenaries mode is post-game content, where it's basically time trials. You just gotta shoot your way out as fast as you can and get a high score. And additional orders adds more maps and more characters. I've never been a huge mercenaries person. It's fine, but I've just never found many... I've never found much interest in the mercenaries mode. I've only played it a couple times when I've been like, man, I really wish there was just more game here. And then I just go play a little bit of that. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't really more game. This is just more shooting. The last thing that it gives you access to is RE-verse, which a lot of people are not that interested in, understandably. It's going to be an online multiplayer. I'm guessing an asymmetrical cooperative experience. I've tried playing their previous iterations of experiences like this and was not very impressed with them. I mean, maybe they weren't polished enough at the time, or they were just missing something. They want to get in the esports arena, which is understandable. But this is their attempt at that. It's reverse. And I believe that you can enter the beta if you want to, if you've purchased the DLC or if you own the main game, you're allowed to try it. I didn't try it. I think I'm good. I'm just going to keep replaying the main game in third person and see if anything breaks, I guess. But it's a good game. And I don't know. It's a good game. Buy the DLC if you want something spooky. Let's hope Chris gets better, because I don't think I'm very good at this on my own. Sorry. And you can find us on Twitter at Game Therapy Life. It's just me tweeting into the ether. And until next time, play games and be happy and stuff.